This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Priorities. Everybody say priorities. It is really teaching us the principle of first things first. And I've used the first week, and I just quoted it last week, or quoted it this week. Matthew 6 and 33 teaches us that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us. The bottom line is, if we put God at the top of the list, how many know he'll take care of the rest of our list, right? And so that's so important to know and understand in our lives. And so the first week we opened up, and it was just a good, you know, I wasn't talking to you. I was, if I was mentoring your neighbor, this is what I would tell your neighbor. I'd just come straight at your neighbor, but I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to your neighbor, right? So if I said something you didn't like, it wasn't at you. It was at your neighbor. Praise the Lord. And then on last week, we just continue in that way. And we talked about the priority of prayer and the importance of prayer. And that was real good. So today I want to talk to you from the subject, the priority of focus. Everybody say focus, focus. Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So we see that God has plans for you. I submit to you, not only does he have plans, he has big plans for you. He said they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And so God has big plans for you, but the key to seeing those plans fulfilled in your life is you keeping your focus, all right? You know? Now, look at your neighbor. Don't say he's talking to you. Just look at your neighbor and look back straight. Just kind of look at them and look back to me, all right? Okay, and so we really have to make sure that we keep our focus. How many know in the room that if you'll come to this church and not only listen to the word that I'm teaching, but apply it, you're going to get results, right? Because the word works if you work the word, right? And so that's the thing. You have to work the word in your life. I'm going to give you my definition for focus. They'll put it up on the screen. It is the ability to stay on track with the plan of God for your life. And God has a plan for your life, right? And it's the ability to stay on track with his plan for your life. Staying consistently faithful. So I'm not faithful some of the time, but I'm faithful all of the time. It is functioning according to purpose without being distracted. And that's one of the biggest things that the enemy wants to do, is take our focus away. When you begin to understand focus, there's two things that focus really does. We're going to talk a lot about focus today, but there's two things that focus really does. The first thing that focus does is it lowers your risk for distractions. It lowers your risk for distractions. And we don't need distractions in our lives. Can I get up? But distractions are all around, aren't they? Right? And I mean, it can be all kind of things. And it doesn't even have to be bad things. Or it could just be overdoing something that's good. But if I do it too much, it can be bad. Does that make sense? You know, like how many know social media could be a distraction? You know, watching news all day long could be a distraction. How many know gossip is definitely a distraction? You got it. Negative people are distractions. And so you have to understand the importance of making sure that I'm eliminating distractions in my life. And so two things focus does is, number one, it lowers your risk for distraction. But number two, it gives birth to clarity, which opens the door to acceleration in our lives. One quote that I've given you throughout my entire 16 years of pastoring this church is, where there is clarity of vision, there's acceleration toward the known goal. I'll say it again. Where there's clarity of vision, there is acceleration toward the known goal. And so when I can see the vision that God has for me, or for my family, or that he has for my finances, or he has for my children, you got any area, or for me starting a business, or having a side business to make extra income, just whatever it is, where there's clarity of vision, there's acceleration toward the known goal. When I can see what God wants to do in my life and understand that I can move forward, you got it, and make it happen in my life. And so Hebrews 12 and 1 teaches us that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. He said, because we are, he says, we have to lay aside every weight and the sin. So you notice he said weight and sin. Sometimes we know sin's going to mess us up, but sometimes it's not the sin, it's just the weight. So the weight and the sin that do so easily beset us, and let us run with, oh man, we're going to act like that didn't happen. Let's rewind the tape. All right? And so, and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with. Oh, there you are. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, not looking unto my boss, not looking unto a political figure. Come on, somebody, not looking unto any of those things, but I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Like, he is my Alpha and he's my Omega. He's my beginning and he's my end. He's my first and he's my last. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to get an anxiety about anything that's going on in this world, because I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the Bible in Hebrews is teaching us really to make sure we keep the main thing, and Jesus is the main thing. And so we've got to keep our focus on Jesus and get rid of as many distractions as possible in our lives. Along the way, if I really, really want to get somewhere in life, along the way, I'm going to have to redefine relationships that are toxic to my faith. You got it. So there's some relationships that just toxic to faith. Now, we love everybody. We don't treat anybody bad. Isn't that right? But you know, there's a difference between being an acquaintance with somebody and being in fellowship with somebody. If you're toxic to my faith, I just can't be hanging out with you every day. But you can be an acquaintance because I'm trying to get you saved. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so along the way, I have to redefine relationships that are toxic to my faith. And I also have to remove myself from environments that are toxic to my faith and my progress in life. And so I've got to really learn the bottom line, and y'all know me, I'm a bottom line kind of guy, that I must get rid of distractions and I must get focused, all right? So y'all repeat after me, say, I must get rid of distractions and I must get focused. All right, so let's talk about enemies of focus, the things that hold us back from focus, all right? Number one is procrastination. And that gets a lot of people, and you know, and everybody's different. I can't understand that because I'm always an early guy. I'm always going to be on time. You know, yesterday by noon, all this was already pulled out. It was already pressed and ironed. It was ready to go. You understand what I'm saying? But I get it. Some people deal with that, always putting things off, always waiting to the end. And then when you wait to the end, there's like this rush to hurry up and get it happening, to make it happen, and those kind of things. And you have to really learn that when we procrastinate, there are things that we miss along the way. It's hard to be excellent if you procrastinate. You got it? It's hard to get everywhere on time if you procrastinate. One thing that I learned from my pastor years ago, the five P's, is that proper planning prevents poor performance. All right? Proper planning prevents poor performance. And so if I want to perform well, I need to plan ahead of time. All right. The second enemy of focus is uncontrolled emotions. Uncontrolled emotions. And so sometimes if we're too emotional, we'll lose our focus. All of us in the room, I don't have to ask. I don't have to ask you to raise your hand. All of us in the room at some point in our life, we got overly emotional. We lost our focus. We said something we shouldn't have said, did something we shouldn't have done. All of us in the room, including Pastor, right? And so because when uncontrolled emotions are flying, what that means is that our flesh is not in check, and flesh unchecked will cause us to do some crazy things. And so we have to make sure that we're getting our focus and that we're keeping our focus. All right. And so enemies of focus, number one, procrastination. Number two, uncontrolled emotion. Here we go. Number three, your past. Number three, your past. The enemy always wants to remind you of your past. He always wants to remind you of what you did wrong. And what happens is, when I was a little boy, they were big on bumper stickers. I don't know if y'all remember Christian bumper stickers, Christian t-shirts, and all those kind of things. And one, if I remember the wording correctly, says the next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, right? And so because the enemy always wants to remind you of your past, but you can never allow your past to bleed into your present, or it's going to pollute your future. Like, what's in the past is in the past. You got it? If you, we all have a past and we've all done things that we're not proud of, but thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the ability to go and say, Father, I'm sorry. I repent. Forgive me for whatever it is that I did. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. And when you do that with a sincere heart, from that moment forward, He forgets you, God. I mean, He forgives you. He forgets it. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. Watch this. And you have to learn how not to allow your past to stay with you, but to leave it in the past. Does that make sense? All right, so procrastination, uncontrolled emotions, your past. And the last one for this topic, for this section, is doubt and unbelief. This is another big enemy of focus, is doubt and unbelief. And this really comes from things that did not work out. You got it? Or maybe negative people, or maybe negative thoughts that the enemy tries to plant in your mind. And so if he can keep you in the realm of doubt and unbelief, and he can keep you in the realm of reasoning, you got it? It's like a merry-go-round. You keep going around, but you keep ending up in the same spot, right? But if you can ever get from that realm of doubt and unbelief, or that doubt of reasoning, and get over into the realm of faith, then anything becomes possible for your life. And so you have to learn, you got it? And how do I get over in the doubt, out of the realm of doubt and unbelief, over into the realm of faith? Faith cometh by and hearing by. So I've got to get in the Word. I've got to get in His presence. I got to hang around the right people. I got to get in the right environment. Come on, somebody. Like, if you really want God to do some amazing things in your life in 2024, it's not 23 anymore, right? Then you're going to really have to make some adjustments and get your focus. Does that make sense? All right, now in life, you will live on this earth influenced by one of several controlling factors, all right? Check your neighbor, make sure your neighbor's doing good, because I see I have a lot of information. Make sure they're not asleep, because some people sleep with their eyes wide open, all right? All right, so you're going to live in this earth influenced, what's that word? Influenced, and that's the key, by one of several controlling factors. So the question is, who's controlling your influence, all right? The number one is the statistics of common experiences. The statistics of common experiences. And this is when you basically live a lifestyle based on what is common for others. And if you're not careful, if you're a dreamer, you got it, but everybody around you is living like this, you got it, and you dream big, if you live by the statistics of common experience, you'll never rise above that, because you think you're supposed to do what everybody else did. So there was a little girl, and her mom used to I can't remember if it was a whole chicken or whatever, and she would cut off certain parts of the whole chicken, right? And she put it in the pan, and she'd throw the rest away, and she'd do it like that. And one day the girl said, "Well, Mama, why do you do that?" And she's like, "I don't know." She's like, "You know, ask your grandmama, you know," which was her mom. She said, "I just did it because, you know, that's what I saw her do." You got it? And then she goes to her grandma and say, "You know, Grandmama, why'd you do that?" And she said, "Baby, you know, ask your great grandmama, because that's what your great grandmama did," which was her mom. And she went to great grandma and she said, "Great grandma," she said, "you know, my mom does it, and you know, Nana does it. Like, you know, why?" And they said, "Ask you, why do you do it?" She said, "Baby, I didn't have a big enough pan, so I had to cut that thing off and put what I had to." But watch this. Look at all them generations, you got it, that did it the same way, where they could have had more, but they didn't have more because they were limited to the lifestyle based on what was common for everybody. Everybody else. Does that make sense? So you got to get out. Now, if you're going to give me a clap, give me a good clap now. So you have to get out of that, you got it, and realize that God wants to do some incredible things in your life. You got to realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to realize that God has a big plan for your life, and to the degree you will step out on faith and say, "God, I receive your plan, and watch this, and grace for your plan in my life," and start moving out in faith, you'll see God do exceeding abundantly, far above all you can ask or think. Right? So that's the statistics of common experiences. Then there's number two, the stereotypes of society. Now, this is a lifestyle based on what society says those like you can do. How many know we don't even worry about society? We are in this world, but we're not of this world, right? You got it. We are in the kingdom of God. And I actually suggest that you stay away from what society tells you can and cannot do, because they'll mess you all up. You got it. You know, people living their lives based on, you know, something they saw on Instagram, right? And then when you find out that Instagram person ain't even living that life. You understand what I'm saying? You got a whole bunch of filters. Praise the Lord. All right. So, number one, statistics of common experiences. Number two, stereotypes of society. Number three, the standard of human wisdom. You got it? And we're talking about in life, you're going to be influenced by one of these controlling factors. So the third one is the standard of human wisdom. And this is simply a lifestyle based on what quote-unquote experts say, you know, the kind of life you can live. And we don't do that, because the Bible says that if we need wisdom, we ask of God. who gives unto all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So if I need wisdom, you got it, for my life, you got it. Now, it's okay if I'm going to start a business, you got it, and I want to see in that arena of business what those experts are saying for business, but they can't tell me, you know, based on who I am, if I can succeed in that business. That's not up to them, that's up to God. Does that make sense? You got it. So you want to be in a business, you go to an expert in that business. He says, well, this is how you do the business. You want to pay attention to that part. He says, oh, yeah, but you can't do it because you don't have a degree. You don't need to listen to him. Does that make sense? So there's a difference, all right? And then number four, the last one, we should be influenced. This is the one we should be influenced by, not the previous three. We should be influenced by the spiritual truths of God's word. The spiritual truth of God's word, or the spiritual truth of God. This is a lifestyle based on what the word of God says. You got it? And the word of God, how many know, has to be the final authority in your life? You got it? Like, you have to walk by what the word says regardless of how you feel. You got it? How many know we have to do what the word says? You got it? So James teaches us not just to be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, right? And so, you know, because he says if you hear the word and don't do it, he says you're really just deceiving your own self. And so you have to not just be a hearer, but you have to be a doer. And so, you know, at the end of the day, one of the biggest things we need to do is stop. I'm going to look right here. I'm not looking at you. I'm not even talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to the iPad. One of the biggest things we need to do is stop wasting time. Stop wasting time, all right? Psalms, the 90th chapter and verse 12, very powerful verse. Matter of fact, on the count of three, let's say it together. Look up at the screen. Do you see it on the screen? All right, we're going to say it together. Are you ready? It's going to be on number three, right? Okay, not number one, not number two, but all right, here we go. One, two, three. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, all right? And so the writer says, Lord, teach us to number our days, because if we do that, we'll gain this heart of wisdom. You got it? This is not going to happen to you. What did I just say? All right? And so this is just a question. This is not going to happen to you. God's going to satisfy you. God's going to satisfy you with a long life and show you his salvation. All right? So this is not going to happen to you. But if someone asked you the question, if you only had 30 days to live, what would you start doing and what would you stop doing? If you only had, this is not you, you're going to live a long life. But just think about the question. You got it? If you only have 30 days to live, what would you start doing and what would you stop doing? Well, you're going to live a long time, but I submit to you, you need to start doing those things. You got it. And you need to stop doing the other things. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, so we have to really get our focus. I'm a very focused person, all right? And I believe that Lady LaConte are where we are for several reasons. Number one, because we serve God. You got it? Because we live right. Number two, because we give right. You got it? You know, and then beyond that, I think that we knew what the plan of God was for our lives, and man, we took off with it, and we're seeing God do amazing things in our lives, all right? The biggest personal goal for my life, you got it, is not a particular house, it's not a particular car, you got it, it's definitely not clothes or anything like that. The biggest personal goal for my life is Acts 10:2. That's the biggest personal goal for my life. That's one that's pretty much at the top of the list. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. That's one, like, because if it starts there, everything can flow from there. You got it? Well, Pastor, that's wrong because you should put people first. No, I got to make sure my relationship with him is right. And if my relationship with him is right, then I can take care of everybody else. Isn't that right? You got it? And so he and all his family were faithful. You got it? They were God-fearing. They took the word of God and watch this. And they did what the word says. And if the word said don't do it, they didn't do it. You got it? Then he gave generously to those that are in need. I believe in that. And then he prayed to God regularly, because last week we learned that prayer was communication with God, but it was confrontation with the devil. And Jesus said that we should not pray some of the times, but that we should always pray and not give up. All right? And so I want to give you, in my last 8 minutes and 50 seconds, a few points. I've given you a lot along the way, and you know, I'm typically what kind of preacher? I got 3 points for you, all right? Well, Pastor, you gave us other points. Oh, that was all the introduction. Introduction don't count. Introduction don't count, but let me give you my 3 points, and I'm going to answer the questions is, okay, Pastor, if I'm going to keep my focus and do everything that you just told me, what do I do first? And I'm going to give you 3 things that you do so you can start moving forward. And this is in the area of your life. This is in the area of your family. This is the area of your marriage and your finances and the job or the career you have or the business you own. This is in the area, you know, of you being faithful to God in the house of God. Just this is your life, all right? If I was to help you for life, I would tell you 3 things. And the number one thing I would tell you to do is to turn the when into now. Everybody say, turn to when into now. All right? So what does that mean? Stop procrastinating. Stop making excuses. And excuses is an exemption from responsibility and a crutch for the uncommitted. All right? But you're not uncommitted. You are committed. You got it? You got it? You're not irresponsible. You are responsible. You got it? So therefore, you don't make excuses. You make it happen. Say, I don't make excuses. I make it happen. All right. People say, well, you know, well, Pastor, when I get my life together, I'll start coming to church. I submit to you that you won't get your life together until you start coming to church, because God has an amazing way of bringing us all together in this type of culture where we experience him in his presence that helps us. We experience an amazing community, and we need community, and that strengthens us. You got it? And so people are trying to get their lives together to come to church. Man, forget all that. Just come to church as you are and then allow God to help you get things together. Right? People say, well, you know, Pastor, when I start making more money, I'll give or I'll be generous. I submit to you that, you know, once you start giving, you got it, and start being generous, an increase will show up in your life. Right? Pastor, when I get the chance, I'm going to call and apologize to that person. How about calling and apologizing today? How about getting it right today? How about clearing your heart today? You got it? See, this is where I don't get that whole lot of amens, because people don't like that kind of stuff. I wasn't fussing. I'm just saying, I know, because a lot of times if we're not careful, pride will hold you back from doing something God told you to do. You know, well, they had a part to play in the whole situation too. Let's not act like it was all my fault. Yeah, but God's talking to you. You got it? Well, did he tell them to call and apologize? We don't know all that. We know what God told you. And if I was you, you got it, I would do what God told you to do. You got it? Have you ever went and apologized to someone because something went wrong and you weren't even the one that started? It wasn't even really your fault. You understand what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit just told you to do it and it mended the relationship. Sometimes, you got it, you got to understand that it's way bigger than you. It's about what God wants to do in your life. Does that make sense? Amen. All right, that's a good place to clap. Pastor, when things slow down, I'm going to join the dream team at church. You got it? Well, no. I think that if you plan properly, you got it, it prevents poor performance. You schedule your life. You schedule your life. We need help, all the time with the kids and in the babies. And there's some ladies in here, you're great with kids. You got it? And, but it's not like I'm waiting on you. You got it? I really believe the Lord is waiting on you. No, I really do. Some of y'all laughing. No, I'm serious. You got it. There's some brothers in here, and when it comes to the brothers, we do the larger classrooms, like the 10 to 12 year old. And the reason that we do those is because I want kids to see men in church. You understand? Serving in church. I want them to grow up, and when they go to college, like especially the boys, when they go to college, when even though they're not home anymore, they go to a church and find a church. Why? Well, because coming up, my daddy went to church, and then brother so and so went to church, and brother so and so was my teacher, and those kind of things. And so, but if you're not careful as a man, I've had to help a lot of men. Like, oh, Pastor, I don't know how to. No, you just go in there. You understand what I'm saying? You just be your normal self, laugh with the kids. Set a good example for them. Talk to them. It's real easy to do kids ministry because we have a system, so you don't have to create the system. You just got to follow it. Yeah. So there's some men in this church that need to go and sign up, for the kids ministry so that you can make a difference and impact those kids' lives in an amazing way. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I'm telling you, now is the time to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Y'all get anything out of this? All right, in my last 3 minutes and 44 seconds, number 2, turn intentions into actions. Turn intentions into actions. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's what? A sin for them. Now, that's the Bible, y'all. That's not pastor talking, right? And so when you know there's something that I'm supposed to do, I even have a prompting from the Holy Spirit to do it, and I don't do it, watch this. It's not a sin for my neighbor because God may have not have told them to do it, but it would be a sin for me. All right? And so when you focus, when you're turning intentions into actions, because you want to keep it not broad, but you want to kind of keep it, you know, tight, the things you do is, letter A, you focus on power, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's going to help you. That's going to lead you. That's going to guide you. That's going to say, don't do this, but do this. Don't say that, but say that. You got it? You want to focus on power. Number two, you want to focus on people. Why? Because you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. Than when you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And guess what? Somebody tomorrow is waiting for you to impact their lives. Somebody at the grocery store is waiting on you. Somebody on your job is waiting on you. Somebody in your family is waiting on you. You got it? Somebody somewhere is waiting on you to impact their lives in an amazing way. So when you wake up in the morning, yeah, yes, I take care of my relationship with God first. But after that, Father, I thank you for putting people into my life today that I can impact in an amazing way. It might be just an encouraging expression. You got it? A handshake. It could be a text to somebody. You know, just no matter what it is, you're going to the grocery store and you see that there's somebody there new and the girl is flustered. You got it? And you want to tell her, hey, it's okay, take your time, and you don't do it. Do you know how much it would have helped her if you just said, hey, take your time, everything's fine. You doing okay today? Oh, you'll get this thing down. You know, you're new at it, but I guarantee I'll be back in a couple weeks. You'll be flying through it. And then you give that person the confidence that they need to keep going, and it changes their entire day. That's a good place to clap right there. That's what it's all about. Like, that's why Lady and I do what we do. Y'all know that, right? Yeah, and so that's what it's all about. 1 Peter 4:8, above all. Above what, class? Above what? Above all, love each other because love covers a multitude of sin. I ain't fooling with that person because I remember, no, love each other deeply. You got it? Because a lot of stuff that happens and we fall out with each other is just surface stuff. It don't even really matter. It ain't that deep. You got it? But if you can just love them deeper, you got it, you can get past all that stuff. Because real love, true love, you got it, the love that comes from God covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without what? Grumbling, you know. You know, if I was to say, hey, you want to start a small group, have it at your house? Not me. Ain't nobody coming to my house, Pastor. Praise the Lord. And then letter C, focus on your purpose. What talents can you offer to God? What talents can you offer to God? 1 Peter 4:10. So I believe that everyone in the house, if you're newer to the ministry, come in, take your time. You got it. I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to you, those of you who've been around. You've been 6 months, a year, 2 years. If you're not doing anything on the dream team, you should be doing something if you're able to. You got it. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of us should use whatever gifts we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone, Ben, go get me some applications. What are they called? Dream team. Yeah, if they have regular ones, get regular ones. If they have children's ones, get children. I'm just doing what God told me to do, all right? If anyone's, and don't worry, I'm not about to put anybody, you know, on blast, all right? Y'all know Pastor ain't like that, right? If anyone speaks, they should do so. Let's go home, Maestro. This is a good place to go home. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. So, yeah, you're in there working with them kids and kids a little rowdy, but God gives you strength to keep working with them. Now, if you're tired and you need a break, tell Jane you need a Sunday or two. She's going to help you. Now, we understand people need breaks. You got it? But, you know, whoo, I'm done for life. No, we always going to serve. Thank you, sir. All right. Watch this. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides so that in all things, watch this, God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be glory and power forever and ever. You know, are the brothers who worked the parking lot in here this morning? Stand up if you worked the parking lot this morning. And I know some of them, the security might still be out there. Okay, look at these brothers that worked the parking lot this morning. You got it. Thank y'all. Y'all can be seated. There's some other ones, you know, some still are on post. Like I said, this is a very safe church. I don't tell you our plan because, you know, you don't ever want anyone to know your plan, but you're very safe. You understand? And so we have security and all this kind of things. It was like 20 degrees outside. Ben is one of my age. You got it? And it was always a thing for one of my age. If you're going to be in the back, you know, and serve me and, you know, kind of help me and those kind of things, that's good. But I want you to serve in other areas so you can still, you know, have the feel of the community. You got it? And so whenever Ben comes to church, he comes to both services. He didn't have to. I've told them my age, you don't have to do this. And it's like all of them do it. You got it? But you know, I'm not going to fuss because, you know, a faithful man or woman, as the case may be, abounds with blessings. You got it. And you know, and Chandler has worked in several areas, whether it's teens and kids and those kind of things. Shelton's on the board all the time. But so they're all helping in different areas. But Ben came in this morning to the green room to greet me. You got it. He go, I'm going to greet my man of God that I'm going to get on post. He didn't come and say, whoo, Pastor Boy, it's cold out there. Do you think you can give me the morning off? No. He came in, hey, Pastor, what's up? Dap me up. You doing? Oh, yeah, man, I'm good. Now, I told him it was cold. He said, oh, yeah, I brought my sweatshirt. You understand what I'm saying? But what? Watch. It was still a joy for them to go out and serve and do what they do. Watch this. And the Bible says that when they do it with the right heart, that God provides them strength. Watch this. In all things, not just in the serving, but he provides them strength in all things and that God is praised, right? And so when you do things with the right heart, God gives you the strength you need, not only in that thing, but in all things, and God is glorified in your life. All right? So, number one, let's put it up on the screen because we got to go home. Turn when to now. Number two. I know it's a lot of notes to get through. I understand. I sent them a lot this week. I normally don't send that many. When they got the email, they're like, okay, Pastor's going. He's in teaching mode. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit more inspirational. I'm in teaching mode, all right? Turn intentions into. And then number three, my last one. Turn my whole heart toward Jesus. Turn my whole heart toward. Keep that up. These are dream team applications. You ought to get one of these, and you ought to look through those. We need help in the greeters and the media, lighting areas, parking team, kitchen team. A few of them might be kind of full. Ushers and worship band, worship team. Now you have to sing to be on the team. And be faithful. You got it. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, kids ministry, but so many cameras, so many different areas, you know. And so, but I'm going to lay these down here. I don't know why Ben only got two. All right. So let me ask you this, Janie. Y'all got a minute? Okay. So if they sign up for the kids ministry, do they take both or do they just take this one? Okay, so if you sign up for the kids ministry, you got to take the regular application and the kids ministry application because we got to check you out, all right? And so, yeah, it's just, you know, we just want to make sure, you know, the cops ain't looking for you. You understand? Praise the Lord. I mean, and the kids are safe. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I mean, I'm not being mean, you know, but, you know, the Bible says that I am the steward of this house. You got it? And so, you know, thank you so much. Give Eric a big hand. Praise. But if kids is not your thing, you just want that one. But if kids is your thing, you want one of those, and you want one of those. So I know some of y'all are going to come down and greet Lady and I, and so just in case, we're going to put those nice because, you know, I'm excellent. So we're going to put those because that don't look good like that, all right? But we're going to fix that. So you can get them that way. You can go to guest services and get them. You can even go online to WLCConline.com if you don't want to come up and get them that way. But if you're not serving in ministry, and I don't normally do this. Y'all know that. But I really feel an unction to say today you need to fill out an application and start serving somewhere. You got to get involved, you know, in the plan of God for your life. Oh, I'm already, because God's doing things over here and over here outside of these four walls, and that's great. But get involved with the plan of God for your life in helping us impact people's lives on the inside of these four walls. Is that a good place to clap right there? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. I got to go. What was point number three, class? Let me tell you what I love about God. Let me tell you what I love a lot about him, so I can't tell you all that. But let me give you one scripture that I love, Micah 7 and 18. Are y'all glad y'all came to church today? All right, amen, all right. So who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad for that. You got it? I know we don't like to tell people we messed up along the way, but we have messed up along the way. And thank God that he doesn't stay angry forever, but he delights in mercy. You will again have compassion on who? You and I. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob. You'll show love to Abraham as you pledge an oath to our ancestors of days long ago. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of you. And he makes a commitment that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, that I'm going to be there. And I have a plan for your life, but I need you to get involved in my plan for your life. And the first thing you have to do is get your focus. And once you get your focus, then we can move on from there. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know a few people have to move to go get in place. And so those leaders can move at that time. But in the room and online, the last point was just to turn your whole heart to Jesus. And maybe you're in the room or online, and maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to know that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. Now, where repent... It's not a hard word. It's a real easy word. It really means that I changed my mind and I changed my direction. That's all. I realized that I was heading in a way that I probably didn't need to go, and I just made a U-turn and started heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to just rededicate your life to the Lord. We just call that a fresh start. And I want you to know God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. Don't listen to people who talk like that, because we don't find that in the Word. He's a God of great grace, and he loves you so very much. And I believe right now he's knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you're in the room or online and you're a Christian. You're already a believer. You love the Lord. But maybe you messed up. You made some mistakes along the way. And maybe you just need to repent for the things that you've done. 1 John 1 and 9 was actually written to the believer and says that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. And so maybe you're looking for an amazing church. Well, I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to. You need to go to a church where, number one, there's a man of God and woman of God who are really living holy and walking in integrity and doing things the right way. You know, you would think that that's common, but in today's society, you got to say that. So that's the first thing you got to look for. And then you got to look for a place where God's presence is. You got to look for a place where they're preaching and teaching the real, true word of God. You got to look for a place that has a great community of people. And I believe that we have all those things here. And so if you're looking for a good church, look no further. Pastor, what do I have to do? How many classes I have to go to? No, that we don't work like that. Fill the connection card out. Give it to one of the ushers. Turn it in at guest services. And we're going to send you something. And it's as simple as that. We have a lunch every few months. It's like a new members reception. We want you to come to that just so you can learn about the ministry. But other than that, you become a part of our family just like that. Because after all, if you're a believer, you're already a part of our family because we're the family of God. And so for any of our appeals, I want you to fill out that connection card. So I want everyone in this room to confess this with me, to repeat after me. So if you're in the room or you're online, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to rededicate your life, or you're a Christian that needs to repent. I want you to pray this prayer along with us. We are going to pray it with you to help you be even more comfortable in praying this prayer. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we give you praise for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the building?